Isaiah chapter 60, 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for your night has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you look and the radiant, your heart will swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of all the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba come, bearing gold and incense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
This morning's gospel can be found on page 966 of the Church Bibles. It's taken from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let's pray for Paul as he comes to talk. Holy Spirit of God, we pray now that you would come and touch Paul as he brings your word to us this morning. Thank you for all that is prepared, and we pray now that we may hear all that you have for us this day. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you. Please sit down. Over the Christmas and New Year period, the television schedules are packed with Christmas specials. One of the Christmas specials I like to watch is a programme called QI. Does anybody watch QI?
Yes.
Good, we've got some fans here. If you've never seen it, QI stands for Quite Interesting. And it's a panel show about quite interesting and obscure facts. The celebrity contestants gain points for correct answers and for sharing quite interesting information. But if they give an answer to a question that a lot of people think is right, but is actually wrong, then they lose 10 points. The idea is that a lot of what we think we know actually turns out to be untrue. I've often thought that today's gospel reading would be a good subject for an episode of QI. It's such a familiar story, isn't it? We all know it from school nativities and Christmas cards and carols. But because it's so familiar, I think we can easily miss a lot of quite interesting things in this story. So let's have a bit of a QI-style quiz, shall we? We'll start with an easy question. I think we've got a visual clue to help us. We know that the first people to come and see the newborn baby Jesus were the shepherds. But who else came to Bethlehem to see Mary and Joseph and worship the baby Jesus in a manger? Oh, we've got an answer over there.
Wise kings.
Wise kings. Oh, that's a good answer, isn't it? That's what most people will tell you, but I'm afraid that's wrong. No, you're going to lose 10 points. Sorry. Any other thoughts about who might have come to visit Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem and see the baby Jesus in a manger? Wise men. Wise men. There's a good answer there. No, I'm sorry, you lose 10 points. No, that's not the right answer. Anyone else want to have a go? Look very carefully at the text we read. What did it say? Trevor? Magi. Magi, that's what it said. No, it's wrong. 10 points off you, I'm afraid. Astronomers. Astronomers, that's a good answer. No, I'm afraid you lose 10 points as well, Jeff.
Shepherds.
Shepherds came first, absolutely. But after the shepherds, yes, I'm afraid it was a bit of a trick question, actually. You see, when you actually look at it, you avoided the trap, most of you, of kings. Kings was a good answer. But kings, the Bible doesn't describe them as kings. In fairness, it doesn't say that they weren't kings either. But the idea that they were kings belongs to a later tradition. It's probably what they teach you at school. Did they teach you that at school, kings? Yeah. See, they told you wrong. I told you all wrong. They might have been kings. It might not be wrong. It might be right. They might have been kings. We don't know. But the Bible doesn't say that they were kings. They must have been wealthy because they bought those expensive gifts, didn't they? Wise men and magi. Well, you see, the thing is, it was a trick question because Jesus wasn't in a manger by the time that the visitors from the east arrived. And it appears that Joseph wasn't there either. If you look at verse 11, it says, "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. While the shepherds came to visit Jesus on the day he was born, the wise men arrived in Bethlehem later." In fact, it could have been up to 2 years later. Verse 7 tells us that Herod found out from the Magi exactly when the star had appeared, which presumably was when Jesus was born. And later, in verse 16, Herod orders all the boys 2 years old and under to be killed based on this information. Mary and Joseph had obviously moved on from the inn and the manger to a house by this time. When Christmas cards show the shepherds and the Magi worshipping Jesus at the same time, there's a bit of artistic license involved. That's not really how it happened. Quite interesting, isn't it? Okay, so another question, and we've got another visual clue here. How many visitors from the east were there? Anyone going to be brave enough to have a guess? Three. You're a good sport, Helen. You're playing along. You lose 10 points for that answer. Three. Yes, I'm afraid it's not three. I heard some people say we don't know. The Bible doesn't actually tell us how many of them there were. Tradition tells us that there's three. It's probably because they brought three gifts, so it's a good guess, but we don't actually know. Final question then, and final visual clue. What were those three gifts? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You were brave enough to go for it. Yes, you're absolutely right. Verse 11 tells us gold, frankincense, and myrrh. No points lost for that one. In fact, you can have all your points back for getting that right. So let's go back to the question of how these visitors from the east are described. We had a lot of different ways to describe them, didn't we? We talked about kings, wise men, and so on. We've established that they're not described in the Bible as kings. Some translations do describe them as wise men. And in a way, this is a good description. But it doesn't give us many clues as to who they actually were. The translation we read today describes them as magi. Now, this is a quite interesting word. It's not a word we often use, is it? However, it is used in certain types of fantasy fiction to describe wizards or sorcerers. Magi is the plural of magus, and the English word magic is derived from it. However, originally the term referred to the priests of an Eastern religion who paid particular attention to the stars and had a reputation for studying astrology, which was a highly regarded science at the time. Although the term magi has come to be associated with magic, the magi themselves would have been quite opposed to sorcery. Now, so far, this has all been quite interesting, but it hasn't really told us anything about the message of the story. However, knowing some of the details will help us to understand the story better. And learning to look more closely at the detail of a story that we think is familiar may help us to see other things that we hadn't noticed before. So the story starts with the birth of Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. And it shows us how three different people or groups of people responded to his birth. Did you spot all three? The first and most obvious response is that of the Magi. Their response was pretty extreme, but when you think about it, entirely appropriate. They travelled a long way. As we have seen, it may have taken them anything up to 2 years to plan and carry out their journey. They brought expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they finally reached this humble-looking child, they bowed down and worshipped him. Let's not forget, these were not Jews that were worshipping the Jewish Messiah. It's highly likely, in fact, that they came from a nation that may have been regarded as the enemies of the Jews. In their favour, the Magi may have been familiar with some of the Jewish teachings. While the Jews were in exile centuries earlier, Daniel had become the chief of the Babylonian and Persian Magi, and he had prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. But most importantly, God had reached out to them in a way that they could understand, through a star. They responded to this act of grace wholeheartedly. They came and they worshipped. The second response is that of Herod. When the Magi came looking for the one who has been born king of the Jews, Herod claimed that he wanted to go and worship him too. But we know better. Verse 3 tells us that when Herod heard about this king of the Jews, he was disturbed. This seems like something of an understatement when we later learn that, having been unable to find Jesus, Herod gave orders for all the boys aged 2 and under in Bethlehem and the surrounding area to be killed. A pretty extreme and brutal response. We may think he was a bit of a wimp to feel threatened by a baby, but he was right to feel threatened. Where he was wrong was in thinking that he could take on God and win. We tend to think of Christ as nothing more than a sort of surname for Jesus, and King of the Jews as an honorary title, a sort of spiritual title. But Herod recognized it as an open attack on his authority. He had schemed and plotted and killed to become the king of the Jewish people. He had no legitimate claim to any throne. And suddenly, here was this child, a descendant of David and a true heir to the throne. Like the Magi, Herod totally believed that this child was the Messiah the prophets had spoken about. But unlike the Magi, he didn't want to worship the king. He wanted to kill him. The third response is the one you might have missed. It's not extreme like the other two, far from it. But it seems the hardest to understand. The chief priests and teachers of the law knew instantly where to send the Magi in their search for the Messiah. Off the tops of their heads, they quoted the prophet Micah, saying that the newborn Messiah would be found in Bethlehem. Because this Messiah was the Messiah they had been waiting for. The one they had read about, learnt about, talked about, sung about and prayed about. And when they heard that he'd been born, they did nothing. The Magi had travelled a very long distance to find this Messiah, but the chief priests and teachers of the law, the very people who should have been the most keen to worship him, couldn't even be bothered to make the 6-mile trip to Bethlehem to see him. Why? Probably because they were frightened. Frightened of what it would mean to them. God in the past, in the scriptures, is safe. Like a fairy tale. Once upon a time in a faraway place. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yes, but that was all a long time ago. Similarly, God in the future, in prophecies, is safe. Like a daydream. A promise that everything will be all right in the end. But God in the present, right here, right now, was a frightening thought, because it would change everything. The point is that it's all too easy for us to become like the chief priests and teachers of the law. We're happy with God in the past, in stories like the ones we heard at school, where once upon a time, in a faraway place, 3 kings came to visit a baby in a manger. We're happy with God in the future, the promise that one day he will come again in glory. But how do we react to God in the present, in the here and now? We have seen that God reaches out to all. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He welcomes all into his presence, from the unworthy shepherds to the ungodly magi. But how do we welcome his presence in our lives? There are many in the world today who react like Herod. They see the very idea of God here on earth as a threat to their authority, and they try to wipe him out of existence. But even for those of us who believe in God, it is all too easy to react like the chief priests and teachers of the law, to ignore his presence, to consign him to books and stories, to the past and the future, and not to seek him out in the present, for fear he might mess up our plans. But the Magi allowed the presence of God to transform their thinking, disrupt their diaries, and demand their worship. They were wise men indeed. How many of us react like that? How many of us are as wise as they were? Because if God dwells among us, that is amazing. It is life-changing. One thing it is definitely not is merely quite interesting.